I thank God for all who have led us in worship today and for all of you who have joined us to worship online. We have been in a sermon series called Resurrection Faith. We've been looking at the stories in John chapters 20 and 21. Today we will conclude this series, Resurrection Faith, with a focus on John 21, 15 through 19. I'll read John 21, verses 15 through 19 from the New Revised Standard Version, and the title of my sermon is, Do You Love Me? When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, Follow me. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Do you love me? It could have been a question from a child to a parent. Do you love me? It could have been a question from a parent to a child. Do you love me? It could have been a question from a spouse to a spouse. But it was a question from a teacher to a disciple. It was a question from the Savior to his follower. It was a question from Jesus to Peter. Do you love me? Jesus asked. Yes, Lord, said Peter. You know that I love you. At that point, Jesus could have said, Thanks so much. Love you too, bro. At that point, Jesus could have said, Peter, that really means a lot, truly. At that point, Jesus could have said, Glad to hear. Good talk, buddy. He could have ended the conversation. But Peter's verbal affirmation of love for Jesus wasn't adequate. His spoken sentiment of love wasn't sufficient. His declaration of love wasn't enough. So Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. Now back in John 10, Jesus had portrayed himself as the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. The metaphor continues here in John 21. Jesus is the good shepherd, and his lambs are people. The word lambs may particularly evoke the young and the vulnerable. Do you love me? Jesus asks. Feed my people. This command charges us to love Jesus indirectly. In other words, Jesus wants us to show our love for him by loving someone else. The best way to love Jesus is not to speak love to him. It's not to hug him. It's not to help him or bless him or care for him. The best way to love Jesus is by caring for other people. A few years ago, when my younger daughter Nora was about 6 years old, she got a piece of paper out and drew on it and colored it and wrote on it, and she folded it up and brought it to me. And she handed it to me. And I saw on the front it said, "To Daddy." And when I opened it, I saw a lovely picture she had drawn on the inside, and she had also written on the inside, "Nora loves Maggie." Now, it said on the outside, "To Daddy," so I knew it was a gift to me. And I guess I was assuming that when I read what was written on the inside, it would say, "Nora loves Daddy." "To Daddy, Nora loves Daddy." That's the way I was thinking it would go. But on the inside, it definitely said, "Nora loves Maggie, who is her older sister." At first, I was very confused by this, but gradually, it all became clear to me. A gift to me as the parent is that my children love each other. Similarly, a gift to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is that his sheep love each other. The best way to love Jesus is not to say, "Jesus, I love you." The best way is to go love your sibling. Go love your child. Go love your mother. Go love your neighbor. Go love someone who's hurting. Go love someone who's struggling. Go love someone who's forgotten or neglected or marginalized. Go love someone who's vulnerable. I saw an article last week about a study that was recently conducted. The headline said it all. Nearly one in five children left hungry amid coronavirus pandemic. Even in the current financial crisis, the U.S. remains a very wealthy nation, yet one out of five of our children is going hungry? How does that happen? We're not feeding the lamb. We might gasp at the headline. We might even say out loud, "How sad." We might feel a fleeting moment of concern before carrying on with our day. But to show love for Jesus is to do something. Note the action required by Jesus' command, "Feed my lambs." This verb signals that something is to be done. According to Jesus, love is more about doing than saying. According to Jesus, love is more about action than articulation. According to Jesus, love is more about deeds than declarations. It's not that words are unimportant. Words are very important, extremely important, and they can convey genuine love. The point, rather, is that speaking love is not enough without also demonstrating love. The mouth that speaks love must be accompanied by hands and feet that enact love. Jesus told an interesting little story in Matthew chapter 21. It doesn't get a lot of airtime, but it's a good one. He told about this man who had two sons. He went to the first son and said, "Go work in the vineyard today." His son said, "No." But later, he went and worked. He went to his second son and said, go work in the vineyard today. This other son said, yeah, I'll go. But he never went and worked. Jesus asks those who are listening to him tell this parable, which do you think did the will of the Father? And everybody knew the answer. It was the one who said no, but then went and did it. It appears that Jesus might rather have Peter say, no, I don't love you, and then go feed the lambs, than have Peter say, yes, Lord, you know I love you, and not go feed the lambs. It really gets under Jesus' skin when people talk a big game about worshiping him and talk a big game about honoring him and talk a big game by calling him Lord and then don't love other people as Jesus taught us to do. It's worth remembering that Jesus was known to quote Isaiah 29:13. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It simply will not do for Peter to say, I love you, Lord, and leave it at that. He must feed the lambs. He must put love into action. He must hug children and feed people who are hungry and care for those who are in poverty and make things happen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Spoken love for Jesus without concrete love for people is no love for Jesus at all. He calls us to show love for him indirectly by loving others. He calls us to show love for him in action, not just words. We might think that's enough of a lesson for one day. But no, Jesus asked Peter a second time, do you love me? Peter had to be thinking, didn't we just go over this? But instead he said again, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus replied, tend my sheep. It's a similar exchange with a slight variation from feed my lambs to tend my sheep. Whereas feed my lambs may signal especially the young and the vulnerable, tend my sheep signals the whole herd. It encompasses the entire flock. It leaves no one out. It means look after one another, care for your peers, love your neighbor, do good to human beings in general. We need this second reminder today because everybody needs to be loved right now. There are nursing home workers that need to be loved right now. There are first responders that need to be loved right now. There are medical professionals that need to be loved right now. There are teachers that need to be loved right now. There are folks who are sick that need to be loved right now. There are folks who are struggling with depression and anxiety and panic attacks that need to be loved right now. Now, there are folks who are in poverty that need to be loved right now. There are victims of injustice that need to be loved right now. Last week, I read about a 25-year-old African-American man named Ahmaud Arbery. He was jogging through his South Georgia neighborhood back in February when two men confronted him and ended up shooting him and killing him. It was a terrible crime for which the perpetrators must be held accountable. It was an outrageous crime that evokes centuries of injustice against African Americans, including the horrors of lynching. I have found myself asking myself anew as a white man, How can I show concrete love in action toward my African American neighbors? I think one way is to seek racial justice in society as an act of love. We need more love in this world and less injustice. We need more love in this world and less indifference. We need more love in this world and less hate. We cannot love Christ without loving Ahmaud Arbery. For Jesus said, "Do you love me? Tend my sheep." Now, after the first two go-arounds, we might think Peter would have gotten the message. After hearing virtually the same thing two times in a row from Jesus, we might think that would be enough. But no, it was not. For Jesus asked Peter a third time, "Do you love me?" This time, Peter's head dropped. This time, Peter's shoulders sank. This time, Peter's countenance fell. Because this time, Jesus' words hurt. You know, sometimes the teachings of Christ hurt. They do not harm, but they do hurt. They hurt much like a surgeon's knife that cuts deeply right to the point where we need help, right to the point where we need transformation, right to the point where we need healing. You see, Peter had talked a big game about his commitment to Christ before. Peter had talked a big game about his devotion to Christ previously. Back in John chapter 13, Jesus said, "Love one another." And Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you can't follow right now." And Peter said, "Why can't I follow right now? I will lay down my life for you." That's some big talk. Peter said to Jesus, "I will lay down my life for you." To which Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." Sure enough, in John 18, when Jesus stands trial before the authorities, Peter denies him three times. Right there by a charcoal fire where people were warming themselves, Peter was asked, three times in a row, "Aren't you a follower of Jesus? Aren't you with that crowd? Aren't you with him?" And he denied it every time. Three consecutive times, Peter disowned the Savior of the world. Now, I know the old rule is three strikes and you're out. But here in John chapter 21, right after a meal prepared over another charcoal fire, a charcoal fire that was still burning, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him three times. Jesus was not just rebuking Peter by asking the third time. He was restoring him. Jesus was not out to hurt Peter by asking the third time. He was out to heal him. Three times Peter had disowned Christ. So Christ gave Peter three chances to claim Christ again. Here we see Jesus fully forgiving Peter. Here we see Jesus fully redeeming Peter. Here we see Jesus fully reestablishing Peter, fully reinstating Peter, fully rehabilitating Peter. When Jesus asked Peter a third time, he showed us a God of second chances. When Jesus asked Peter a third time, he was showing him that the salvation Christ brings is not partial, but total. The redemption Christ brings is not partial, but total. The forgiveness Christ brings is not partial, but total. I have a very close friend, one of my best friends in the world, who served for a while as a missionary in Indonesia. At the house where he lived there with some of his fellow missionaries, they got to know the night guard, the guard who worked around the property where they stayed. And as they got to talk to him some, they got to share the gospel with him and tell him about Christ. One day, this guard came up to my friend and said, "Guess what? I believe in Christ, and half of my sins are forgiven." My friend immediately wondered if he and his fellow missionaries had done a good enough job explaining the gospel to this man. And then he went on to say to him, "I'm so glad that you have belief in Christ, but let me clarify that Jesus died for all of your sins." 2 or 3 days later, the guard comes running up to my friend again and says, "I have to tell you about the dream I had last night. You were over there with the others, and I was sitting here on this bench, as I always do, and I saw a man that I didn't know approaching. He was walking this way up the hill, and quickly I realized it was Christ. He walked right past all of you, which I thought was odd because you're the ones always talking about him, and he came right up to me, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, 'Not half, but all of your sins are forgiven.'" This man met the same Savior Peter knew. He met the same Savior you and I can know by faith today. He met the crucified and resurrected Lord. He calls us to show our love for him by loving other people. He calls us to show our love for him in actions, not just words. He calls us to love others fully, even as he has fully loved us. This is what it means to walk with the risen Lord. This is what it means to follow the resurrected Christ. This is what it means to have resurrection faith. And I can hear him asking us today, even now across the centuries, "Do you love me? Amen."